You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word radio broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ures with Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. I'm so excited to be with you again. I see your lovely faces there, and I just want to say that I'm glad that you took this time to share with this teaching, and I believe there's something that's going to be uplifting, but also information is going to be disseminated to you so you'll know how to pray and how to pray properly. So today we're going to be shedding some more information about the hindrance to prayer, but before we do that, we definitely want to lift up the island of Bahamas, for those people that were affected in Abaco, for those that were affected in Freeport, Grand Bahaman. So we just want to start by just praying and just lifting up that particular region there, and just want to let you know that, you know, be encouraged. The scripture says that God says he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. So let us pray. Father God, I thank you, and I praise you, and I glorify your holy name. Father God, we know, Lord God, that you are the God of all comfort. Father God, you are able to comfort us, Lord God, in our greatest time of need. So, Father God, right now, God, we ask, Father God, for your intervention, Father God, over the island of Bahamas. Father God, that your grace and your peace, Father God, will just rest, Lord God, upon that island in the name of Jesus. Let this bring forth, Lord God, a time, Lord God, of unity. And Father God, we pray, Lord God, for every resources, Lord God, that's needed, Father God, will be sent. And Father God, let there be a rebuilding, Father God, of those areas, Lord God, that were greatly affected. Father God, I ask, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, Father God, that every person, Lord God, that was affected, that you'll put your arms, Lord God, around them and reassure them, Lord God, that you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them. And Father God, I thank you that you are a promise-keeping God. You're a loving God, and you're a wonderful God. And we ask, Father God, all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray, amen and amen. Well, that's very dear to my heart because, you know, of course, probably you guys don't know, my wife is from Nassau, Bahamas, and she also has family members in Freeport and Abaco. So directly impacted, and our heart definitely goes out to all the families that were affected. And then we pray for God to just put his hand upon that nation at this great time that we're of need. I think that's the reason why that kind of segue to how it's important for us to pray. Because just like a situation like that, Dorian that came, you know, just literally came out of nowhere, we have to now use our prayer to help each other and to now come together as a unity and use this tool to now say, hey, God, we need your intervention in a crisis such as this. That's why I say praying is so important. Today, what I'm going to do is that we're going to talk about some hindrance to prayer, some of the things that may be blocking or obstacles to our prayers. And I want you just to pay close attention, and hopefully those people that were affected will hear our heart cry as we, you know, we talk about this subject matter called prayer. Now, if you just look at this word prayer, it's literally our communion and our communication with God that touches the heart of God. Another thing, if we were to define prayer, it is the expression of man's relationship with God. Through prayer, we can build an intimacy with God. We not only do all the talking, but God speaks back to us. And by spending time in His presence, we can become even closer to Him. And as we come closer to Him through that relationship, then His purposes could be accomplished through us. God needs a man that will be subject to now say, hey, I can get my job accomplished through the Moses, through the Abrahams, through the Elijahs, through the Davids, and through you also. Now, when we look at this word, you know, today, like I said before, we're going to talk about, you know, the hindrance to prayer. The thing is that when I look at prayer, I believe that prayer was intended to be answered. Why do I say that? Because I don't believe that God will put Himself in a predicament where He would say, I want you to pray, knowing that I would not answer your prayer. That wouldn't be a God of character. That wouldn't be a God of integrity to put that on the table. So, for instance, I look at some of the scriptures, like, for instance, Jeremiah 33 and 3, and it makes it very clear God's posture in how He wants to respond to us. He wants to be a part of this relationship with us. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 3, it says, call unto me, and then I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So you look at that word answer, it also comes from the word anah, A-N-A-H, and it means to eye or to pay attention or to begin to speak or to respond. So He says, I will answer you, but not only just answer you, but I will show you great and mighty things. That word show you means that I want to manifest and I want to stand out boldly. I want to show you that I want to answer you. The second thing that we see is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence or the frankness or the all outspokenness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His what? His will, yes. He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. So first of all, we should have a confidence. We should have a frankness, knowing that if we ask anything according to His will, meaning His word, we know that first of all, He hears us. God hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that He will carry through what He said He will do through His word. We also see in St. John's chapter 16, verses 23, and it reads, it says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Now, this is Jesus speaking now. I want you to catch this closely here. It says, most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He, meaning the Father, will give it to you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. So we see here that Jesus now tells us, say, hey, our prayers should be directed to our Heavenly Father. He says we should pray to the Father in the name of Jesus or in the authority of His name, Jesus. So a lot of times we realize that, you know, we're praying incorrectly, and God says that there is a pattern, there is a way, there is a blueprint of how you should pray to get results from me. So we look that God is a very specific God. In this, for instance, is looking like at Moses, when He came to Moses in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, when He now says, hey, I just want to, God says, I want to be closer to my people. He says, Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle, a place where I can dwell. Build me a sanctuary. And now God goes through and He gives specifics. In other words, he gave a pattern of how you should build it. He says that I may dwell among my people. He told them what type of wood to use, acacia wood. Like, for instance, when they were building the chest, He says, I want the chest to be 45 inches long. I want it to be 27 inches wide. I want you to cover it with gold, not silver. So God was very specific, all right? If we want our prayers to be answered, we have to go by the pattern or the instructions of how he said we should pray. If he says pray to the Father in Jesus' name, we can't pray to Jesus, you know, in the Father's name. We have to do it according to what the Word of God says. Like, for instance, let's look at another example here. We see Naaman. Naaman was a leper. And Elijah came to Naaman, and Naaman obviously was suffering from leprosy, you know, which is basically from top of his head to the sole of his feet. When he came to Naaman, he gave Naaman some instructions. He says, this is what God wants you to do. He says, I want you to go to the River Jordan, and I want you to dip 7 times. Not 5, not 6, not 3.5, but I want you to dip 7 times. Naaman got a little bit kind of upset. He pulled back and he says, why should I go to River Jordan? Look at all the rivers around here. Can I go into that river here or this river over here? But guess what? God says, no, this is my pattern. This is my instructions for you. And he got his healing because he fulfilled the pattern. He dipped 7 times, and on that 7th time, not the 6th time, at the 7th time, he was totally healed. Proverbs 8:32 says, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to instructions. Listen to the way, how I tell you to do it. If I tell you to pray this way, the scripture says, blessed are those that listen to me. Now, with that backdrop, we see now the disciple now. The disciples was watching Jesus because Jesus is an example. If you want to know what God is like or how God responds, we look at Jesus. Because Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father tell me to do or what he tells me to do. So if we want an accurate depiction of what God is like, we look at Jesus. So we see in Luke chapter 11, verses 1, where the disciples were watching Jesus. Jesus represents the Word. In St. John's 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is also depicted as the author and the finisher of our faith. If we want to know about faith, look at Jesus. So now the disciples now look at Jesus while he was praying, waiting until he was completed praying, and says, Master, teach us how to pray. Because, in other words, show me your pattern. Show me how to pray so my prayers will be effective. Just like what it says in James, where it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it says, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus went about to say, hey, this is how you should pray. This is how your prayers should be patterned. So when we're talking about prayer, it's important that we do it the way God tells us to do it. I believe it was Jesus' mother when they were at the wedding. He says, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Now, there are hindrances to our prayers. There are things that may be stopping us from getting the results. We see when Daniel was praying, the scripture says that when he prayed, his answers got withheld by the prince of Persia. So we see that at times, not even knowing that we don't get the answers to our prayers because it has been hindered. Now, I look at the word hindrance. I look at this word hindrance, and it means a thing that provides resistance, delay, or obstruction to something or someone, stoppage. Could it be that something that is stopping your answers from coming to pass could be something that is putting forth an obstruction to you answering, getting your prayers answered? We're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. The first one is doubt. The second is fear. The third is unbelief. The fourth is sin. The fifth is unforgiveness. That's a big one. The sixth is wrong motives. Then the seventh is bitterness. All right? So we talked about doubt, and we're going to kind of go over it a little bit more and get finished doubt and then go right into the fear, which is the second hindrance. Now, this is the part I want you to catch here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are always compassed about with a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off or lay aside every weight." When you see that word weight, it comes from the word anakos, which means hindrance. Let us put aside the hindrance, the things that may be obstructing us from getting the answers that we should get. And these obstructions or hindrance or doubt, like I said before, fear, unbelief, sin, unforgiveness, wrong motives, and bitterness. Now, let's look at the first hindrance, doubt. We defined the word doubt last week, and we gave probably like three or four definitions of this word doubt. I'm going to go for it real quickly because we're just pretty much reviewing. The word doubt comes from the word aporeo. A-P-O-R-E-O. In the Greek, when you see the word a, it means without. Without. And then the poreo comes from the word poros, which means a way or a transit. When you put those words together, it means to be without a way. So when you see doubt, it means to be without a way. It also gives you the impression of to be without resources or to be at a loss, aporeo. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, it uses this word aporeo. It says, "We are troubled on every side." This is Paul speaking now. "Yet not distressed. We are perplexed," aporeo, "but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." The second word is diakrino, another word for doubt. It means making no distinction, or it means to waver or to fluctuate between two opinions. It means lack of faith or the weakness of our faith, diakrino. And then we have distazo, which means D-I-S means double, and stasis means standing. Double standing, standing in two ways. And we gave an example last week of Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, says, "Come." And now Peter now stepped out on the word, what he was speaking. And as he stepped out on that word, we see Peter was walking on the very word of Jesus Christ. But distazo says that he had a standing in two ways. That means he had two ways of uncertainty. The fourth word is meteorizo, which you get the word meteor. It means to be in mid-air, or it means suspense. So those are the words that talks about doubt. And doubt is one of those hindrances that if we don't extract it from our life, then it's a high probability that our prayers will not be answered. I was looking at a verse over in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. The scripture says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. 23, for assuredly, or verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not," that's right, "doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." So we see here that doubt is an hindrance to our prayers. Doubting in our heart, you know, having that diakrino, you know, wavering, fluctuating between two opinions. We see also in James, I believe it was James chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, when James was saying that if anyone lacks faith, let him ask of thee, and how God gives it to us liberally. And we see how he gives it to us liberally, without holding back or without wavering. So we see here that it's important to know that James now is saying that we should ask without wavering. We should be asked without doubting. Now, the second hindrance, which I believe is a very important one, similar to doubt, it's fear. F-E-A-R, fear. That's the second hindrance. A lot of times we've been praying, and we have not been seeing any results. Could it be that fear is blocking or is a hindrance to us receiving from the Lord? Now, when we look at fear, fear is faith or confidence in what could go wrong, will go wrong. Fear is having confidence in what could go wrong. If you were to look at an acronym for fear, it's false evidence appearing real. Now, when I look at this word fear, I believe from looking from the enemy's perspective, I can see that he used this as a strategy to stop our praying or stop us from advancing in the things of God. Like, for instance, I look at a scripture like 1 Peter 5 and 8. Let us read together. It says, be sober. That word sober means to abstain from wine. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be awake. Why? Because your adversary. What is your adversary? The enemy, yes. It gives you an idea of an opponent in the lawsuit. The devil, diablos, the false accuser or a slanderer. He goes about as a roaring lion. You see how the verbiage that's used there? As a roaring lion. That means the main tool of the enemy is to exude fear. Just like a lion would roar and stabilize and immobilize that prey, it goes through as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, So we see here that fear is one of the tactics that the enemies will use to block, to obstruct, and to stop your answer from coming forth. Now, when I was looking at this word fear, to look a little deeper into this particular word, I believe if we address this particular word called fear, then we begin to start seeing some results in our prayer. I was reading, for instance, like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6. The scripture says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now that shows me off the back that fear is a spirit. Let me give you a story here. I remember when I came home from work and I had this, when I pulled up in the driveway, I noticed that one of the coconut trees, the limbs had fell down onto the ground. So I said, let me just go over and just grab it and just pull it to the fire pit. So I went ahead and I grabbed the branch and I pulled it from the front of the yard all the way to the back of the yard and was getting ready to put it into the fire pit when I looked down to my right hand and I saw a snake. I don't know about you, but my immediate reaction was to yell and to jump back. I actually fell to the ground because that startled me. Why? Because I saw something that has the propensity to hurt me or to possibly kill me. So then fear came in and I pulled back and I draw back. But notice that I did not respond to fear until I actually saw it. I mean, that snake was having a good jolly ride from the front to all the way to the back of the house. And so I'm going to enjoy this ride. But I did not fear until I actually saw it. Like, for instance, some of us may be, fearful of heights. We're not fearful until we look over the edge and say, oh, my God. Or we come in contact with something that has the propensity to bring us harm. So we see that fear, it's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. But God makes it very clear, like for instance in Psalms 118 and 6, it says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. Wait a minute, you mean that God is with me so I don't have to be afraid? In Psalms chapter 34 and 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from, all my fears. David went on to say in Psalms 27 and 1, he says, the Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? What I'm going to do next week is to get a little deeper in the definitions of fear. I'm just going to give you the first definition. It's called, come from the word phobos. Fear comes from the word phobos. It means that which calls to flight. That means cause dread or terror. Phobos. So next week we have a chance to kind of get a little deeper into this second hindrance. The first hindrance is doubt. The second hindrance is fear. And I believe as we kind of go through this, that we'll be able to identify these hindrances and remove them. Remove those sin that so easily beset us. Is that a good deal? Good. Well, first of all, I want to invite you out to come and worship with us every Sunday at 10 a.m. I believe this is an environment where there's great worship and just the good teaching of the Word of God. But also, I want you to go on our website and just learn a little bit about us. You know, you'll see our vision statement, you'll see our mission statement, you learn a little bit about, you know, who we are and where we have come from. But also, I want you to also to sow into this ministry. Go on our website. It's Maranatha. Let me spell that for you. MARANATHAINTER.org. And you can sow into this illustrious ministry. Well, my time has come to an end. And I just want to say that I love you. Just want to say also to the people in the Bahamas that we're with you. We're praying with you. We're supporting you. And we're going to be giving. We're going to be, you know, sowing into that island and just showing them how much we love and we're supporting them. May God richly bless you. Until next week, I declare God's shalom, his peace will rest upon you, and may his favor rest upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Team Martech, local professionals serving our community. Listen to a financial advisor, local attorney, independent insurance agent, mortgage broker, realtor, and certified public accountant. They discuss issues and answer questions of interest to you. That's Team Martech, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on WCNO.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.